This interview is with Reverend Charles Gaskins. Reverend Gaskins came to Champaign in 1930 with his mother, and he attended Gregory Elementary School and Urbana High School. In 1942, Mr. Gaskins went into the Army and remained there until 1951, when at that time he was discharged after being shot while crossing the Rhine River in Germany. While in service, Mr. Gaskins traveled to other European countries, including England, France, and Belgium. Presently, Mr. Gaskins is assistant pastor at the Macedonian Baptist Church. He was ordained at the Pilgrim Baptist Church in Champaign. This interview is being conducted on July 14, 1983, at 108 West Washington Street, Champaign. The interviewer is Melinda Roundtree, representing the Urbana Free Library Archives Department.
First of all, Mr. Gaskin, could you tell me a little bit about your childhood?
My childhood?
When you were growing up?
Oh, I don't know what to say about you. I went through grade school and high school. That's all I know. I didn't go to college. All of my kids, I give them a college education, every one of them. So all of them got good jobs and everything. My part, I just went on through 12th grade through high school.
See. Did you go to school here in
Chicago? Yeah, I went to school here.
What grade school did you go to? What schools?
I went to school right down the street at Gregory School.
Gregory School?
Yeah, right across the street there on Randolph. And I went to the junior high. Through to the 12th grade.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Urbana High School.
And you went to Urbana?
Yeah.
What year did you graduate?
Oh, jeez, I don't forget now. This one year, I was trying to think. See, that's been a long time. See, I went to serve, I was 18 years old, and then stayed overseas for 9 years. Should have had a career out of it while I just didn't come to Urbana. When I never had to work anymore.
Where did you go overseas?
Over the European country, I was all over there. Over in England, France, Germany, Belgium. And the last battle, that's where I got shot at over in Germany. I crossed the Rhine River. That's why I'm on that disability, you see. Give me what you call a purple heart disability. As long as I live, the government got to pay me. See, but I got shot over there. I was trying to figure out what year did I finish high school. Let's see. Oh, for Christ's sake. See, I went in 18 years old. I'm 54 now, but that ain't the question, that ain't the answer what you asked me. I think I finished high school this year. I was thinking back in, I believe it was 1960, I believe it was, when I finished high school. That's about as close as I can get at it. You can put it down like that. Otherwise, you're recording it anyway.
When did you come to Champaign?
Oh, Champaign? Oh. I was way back when you come to Champaign. I wasn't nothing but a kid then. Way back. I don't know how to know, but I can figure it out. I was born 1929. I think it was in 1930. That's when my mother moved to Champaign, so I growed up here. Growed up here and went to school here. That was in 1930. That's when it was.
How were the job opportunities when you got to Champaign?
You know,
the last couple of good jobs either?
Yeah, my occupation though was a cement finisher. I had an occupation.
When you first got here?
No, after I grew up.
Oh, after you grew up. Okay.
Cement finisher. Yeah, I can read those blueprints. Ain't too many people can do that. Okay. Any which way a building's supposed to be made, I can do it. But I was a first class concrete finisher. That's what it was. That was my occupation.
What other kinds of jobs did you do?
Construction work.
On
construction.
You did mostly construction work?
Yeah, that's what I did, construction work.
What year did you go into service?
I went into service in 1942. I was gone, you can count it from that, I was gone for 9 years before the discharge. Then I said I should have listened to the company commander. Made a career out of it and never would have to work anymore. But after I come out of Stella, I went out on construction. And went to finish the concrete on these big jobs. And that's the way it was. So, yeah, lately, I lost my health. That right kidney went bad on it, so that's why I had to go to the on that. What you call that dialing machine? Over to the Mercer Hospital. I just come back just a few minutes ago. I was just about 5 minutes ahead of you.
Yeah.
Then you rang my buzzer?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I buzzed the button while the door would open. Well, in other words, it wouldn't just fly wide open, but the electricity go through and unlock it. And all you had to do is just pull the door to you. See, that's the way it is. That first button down the loudspeaker, you can read it yourself. It says talk. The second button says listen to who it is. And the third button, you mash it to put that door to unlock, open the door. You see, I couldn't have. Something must have been wrong with that thing downstairs. I kept saying, who is it? Who is it? I never could hear you say who you were, and I just went on. I know somebody had to know me, and I just went on and mashed the other button while the door would unlock. And you can come on in and see. I guess you're familiar with these doors by now. So.
Could you tell me a little bit? I know you told us told us about your job with the police, but could you fill me in a little bit more on it? On it?
About being a police?
Yes.
Well, all I know that I was just a good cop is all I know. I never did, arrest nobody, beat them over to blackjacks because I had thought to do it. All I do is just talk to them. I catch them doing something, make them go home. But Seth and Nelson, just like, in other words, like this building itself, this was a store. I suck around through here and I never put the sovereign on them. Then I can scam off, they'd break and run. But I'd suck a block and come right back. They wouldn't even put on the red lights to drive down and jump out the car. And I said, so what you guys up to? They look around, oh, that you, Reverend? Yeah, you gonna do me a favor? Yeah, if we can, get your tools and go home. That's the way I done it. See, I didn't want to beat nobody up. Didn't want to shoot them. The chief used to tell us, don't shoot unless you have to. But let no man get in 6 feet of you. If you do, they'll kick you in the stomach and get you down and take your gun. And then you're going to lose your job automatic. See. So I never let nobody, wouldn't shake hands with nobody, don't care how well I know them. Just make them going home. So I said, that was it, it's gone. Let's get out of my sight quick as they can. I didn't do like these other cops. A lot of cops, they haul off and beat them up, go in the car and call in for a backup. Let another police sit back there while they won't grab the driver and make him wreck. They'll sit back there and make them be quiet till they get them out of jail and put them in jail, you see. But I didn't have to do all that. this new sound gym, just talk to the guys. That's the way I did. I never talk them down. I just gave them a break. That's what it was. White and color. I wasn't tough on nobody. So I thank the Lord bless me for being a good cop. When I turned my stuff in, after I talked with my mother, that's what she mean by some but. She said, but I don't want you to be no police, Tommy. I said, why? I ain't bothering nobody. Boy, you don't know like I know. If you was in Chicago or California or some of these places or Massachusetts, so you ride around in New York, ride around on your beat, if anybody just like you, they shoot you while you're riding around the squad car. And that's what I mean, but get you another job. That's what she used to tell me. I said, all right, I'll think about it. Finally, I give up. Turn my stuff in. You think I'm lying, I can show you all my equipment's in there right now. All my uniforms and everything. I'm not lying about it.
What year did you
quit?
What year? Say,
I did
what? What year?
That was back in the 70s. Yeah, around 71 up until 1975. That's when it was.
What was one of the most outstanding experiences that you remember when you were on the force? One of the best, you know?
Well, when you're on your beat, one of the best things, you had to check all stores, drive up there and catch you over to the lock, just like that lock on the door. Make sure the door is locked, and I had to check all banks. Ride around, check every bank, you see, and see if the bank's locked. See if anybody breaking in. That's one of the most things. Then I'll get back out on the street, and if I get a call, a lot of times, city are calling for a backup. You may not know what I'm talking about, but I'll explain it to you. Like some police, you know, go out to arrest somebody, like people have big fights, or been in wrecks and all that kind of stuff. Well, they call in, the CB, you see. Call in to the chief for a backup. Or they call me, tell me to come to sit in such a place, I need a backup. I reach and get that CB, and I said, over. Be right on your tail light. So I go down and help him out, you see. That's one of the important things, you see. And that's the way it was. You know, the police force. You can't be a cop if you can't buy your own uniform and your gun and your blackjack. The only thing the city furnishes is your badge and that walkie-talkie. Do you know what I'm talking about? That thing they have on to pull it out and pull that air out. And you can talk on it. You talk 50 miles on that. And the handcuffs. That's all the city furnished. And everything else you got to buy it yourself. If not, you ain't gonna be no cop, see. That's the way it is. My oldest daughter, she's a police in New York after she finished college. My daughter right here. She's a psychic nurse in New York and Western Hospital. She works directly with the docs about operating on people. She's 23 years old now. Her name is Victoria Renee. I just call her Vicky all the time for short name. That's her. See, every time she smiles, she got a dimple coming each jaw just like me. Bring her just alike. Otherwise, all my kids is just like me. Five of them, three boys and two girls. Let's see, let me have some pictures in here. Just a moment, I'll show you.
I want to ask you, have you ever been in any life-threatening situations while the force?
No. Nope. Never have. That's a no answer.
How did the community treat you? Were they nice?
Oh yeah, they treat me nice. The always did. After I, you know, went to growing up, you know what it was all about. I was treated nice ever since I've been here. Like I said, I came here, I was a little bit of boy. It's in 1930. So, you know, I was growing up right in this town, like I said. Also, I told you about I went to school here. After I grew up, big enough. Grade school and high school and all that kind of stuff. I didn't go to college. And all of my kids, I get them a college education because I made that big money out of construction. So that's why I was able to get them a college education. My oldest son, the one named after me, Tommy Jr., he is an engineer. All they do is drive these passenger trains. They drive on a fast train, Civil League out of Chicago, from Chicago to New York, and from New York to Los Angeles, California. So that's his occupation, being an engineer. So now he done got married, Nani. He got a wife and three little boys. The oldest boy is 5 years old. The next one is 4, and the youngest one is 3. And they look just like triplets. You can't hardly tell them apart when you look at them. They was here not too long ago on vacation. They only give him this one day off, see, because he got to drive them trains, you see. And he came down here, and them kids running all through the house. I can't tell one from the other now. It looks just alike. So, I don't know. There's some fine looking boys.
Could you give me the names of your
sons and kids?
Your sons and daughters? And
well, my son, his name Thomas Jr. Gaskin. And the one you got the picture there, Dell Gaskin. And Lula Mae Gaskin. Victoria Renee Gaskin. That's the names of them. Unless you want the names of my grandkids. Well, the oldest one in the cell, so he's 5 years old, his name is Keon. And the one 4-year-old, he named Luke. And the baby boy, he's 3. His name is Wally, you see. And his wife, her name is Pat. She about your size, Patty. Unions, he don't like too big of women, so I don't know why, but that's the way he like them, you know. Kind of little and cute, if I like you. So, that's all I know.
You said you was ordained at Pilgrim?
Yeah, Pilgrim Baptist Church. That's where I got ordained at.
How long were you there?
I was at Pilgrim Baptist Church about 8 years in Pilgrim Baptist Church. Now I'm with Reverend Jackson now in Macedonia. In other words, he needed an assistant pastor. So he talked me into it, and I left Pilgrim. So I'm the assistant. You know Ed Jackson?
Ed Jackson,
he from Decatur, but he passed the church here. We have a new church built on Folsom Tremont. If you ever went up through that way and see that new church coming up, we're supposed to move in sometime this month. We got it all finished, electricity inside now, instead of putting up lights and running walls and all that kind of stuff. As soon as they get out the way, we're going to move in a new church. For the time being, we have a church right down the street at Gregory School every Sunday. Church then sometime we have a appointment to go out of town, so we first have the morning service. Sometime we have to go to Peoria, sometimes Chicago, sometime over in Indianapolis, Indiana. About a month ago, I had to go to Terre Haute, Preacher God University. And I was supposed to go to Bloomington this coming Sunday, but I don't know whether I'm going to feel like it or not. It all depends how I feel. So maybe Reverend Jackson may have to go herself. If I feel like it, I'll go, you see. So that's the way it is. I got to Father when I said we go, because I am the assistant pastor, you see, of Macedonia Baptist Church. So that's the way it is.
Are you a member of any organization or club?
Like what?
Like a lodge or anything?
No.
Never been.
I got a big insurance to Medicare with the government. I don't know whether you know what it is or not, you're so young. About Medicare.
Medicare, yes.
That's what it is. That's a good insurance, and it's a big one, too. But, paying so much on my doctor bills. And like if I have to go to the hospital, well, that insurance will pay all the room rent, which is $204 for every day I was in the hospital once for 20 days. And the government had to pay every bit of that. Then they turn around and pay 80% on the doctor bills. And all I have to pay is 20%, see, it come out of my pocket. That 20% don't amount to too much money, you see. I don't know, 20 days I had to pay out all around about $300. The government took care of all the rest of it. So I don't worry about the room, and I can go anywhere in the United States. But I got shot pretty bad in the last battle. We fit over in West Germany, you see. That's why I got it in. That's why they have to put me on what you call Purple Heart Disability. See? They got to pay me as long as I live. See? Every month. I get the check. So I don't work anymore. Like I lost my health. At least that right kidney wasn't bad. That's why I'm on a dialer machine. Do you know what that is?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You gotta be honest, it's gone long. What they do, they put a great big needle in the veins way up here somewhere. And it pumps all the blood out of you. And they put another big needle down below in another vein. And that blood they're pumping out goes through a machine and cleans your blood out, you see. You can look at it to be going up in plastic pipe, but instead of a little stream, it's like you turn a hydrant on, water hydrant on, slow. It goes in that machine, and purify it and clean it out. Then it starts that other needle to pump it way down below. It pumps the blood back into the body. See? When you get off of that machine, you be as weak, but the next day you feel as good, you see. I ain't gonna tell nobody when you first get off of that. It really waking you down, you know, for pumping all the blood out and putting it back into the body. What it does you a lot of good. So, I had to either do that or let them operate on me, go into my back, take that right kidney out. So a lot of people ain't got but one kidney. You gotta have one. And my left one is good, nothing wrong with it. So, they say I had to either get on the machine or else go to a surgeon, let them take that bad kidney out. But the doctor said, best to get on the dialing machine and think they straighten out. You don't have to go through the operation. I'm glad of that. It's hard, brother. I'm getting better, all right, all the time. Every time I get on there. I got to get back on the machine again tomorrow. See, tomorrow is Friday. What's tomorrow? The 14th?
Yes, think. Sir. Thank you.
I got to go back on tomorrow. Then rest up a while and go back again next Tuesday. And Father and Saturday. Back and rest up a few days. And Saturday to get on it again. They keep it doing that until they get in the wells. But it makes you feel 100% better. I'd rather do that than go through an operation.
Would you say the black community is more closer now than it was before?
Oh yeah. Sure is.
In what way do you think?
Well, you know, they count me as an odd damn minister. I'll be treated nice. Nobody bugs me around. So, I'm just treated real nice. People a whole lot better than they used to be. White and black. Give me a lot of respects. Every which way I go, there's some tired of shaking hands with people. Hello, Reverend Gaskin. How you doing, Reverend? All that kind of stuff. We have a lot of white people going to our church, joining with us. Well, so is the color. That's the way it is. Sometime I'll be called out, preach to a white church. Well, I got a goal, see. That's my occupation. And I get a call, I just get going. So, I don't never say no. The answer always be yes. I kind of like it. I've been doing this for the last 10 years. I got ordained 10 years ago. I can show you my license if you want to look at them. That's about all the questions. That's all the important questions I know the answer to what you ask me. I don't know nothing else. You can recall that. In other words, that's what you're doing now, for that concern.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what things would you like to see the community do in the future?
Community
do what? What things would you like to see the community do? How you want it to improve? How could the community improve in the future? You know, what things can make it better for the people?
Well, all the ministers, all the ordained ministers like me, we have to go to the association. You see what I mean? We go to Chicago, wherever we're going to be, and we have the big time. You see, all ordained preachers get together. We go to the association. Sometimes we'll be gone about a week before we get back to Champaign. So it's nice. In other words, I enjoy it, being with the people like that. A lot of enjoyment. He's treated nice. I'm going here, I'm going to get this. If you don't believe it, I'm going to show you my ordained license. If you don't mind looking at me. If you don't want to look at it, I don't care. Yeah. I'll show you. I ain't no jackleg. And no said.